Today's reading is from John 4. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan said to him, You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. And Jesus answered her, If you knew this gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, You have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? The woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, What do you want? Or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jug, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed with 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world.
Thank you to all of you for being here. This is my church, and it's so good to see the life and the flash and the movement of the Spirit in this church. And I thank Gene for inviting me, or as he said it, giving me the privilege to open the Word to you. When he first asked me, I immediately thought I'd preach on love like Christ, which is a message that God's given to me, and I try to give it to everybody. But then he told me that he had a series of witnessing, and I love to witness. I absolutely adore witnessing. And so in a flash, I saw that crashing after sacrificing your life for someone, giving them the knowledge that Christ sacrificed his life for them is the most loving thing you can do. So that, aha, love like Christ by witnessing Jesus. Or witnessing like Jesus. And so my story comes back to a brief moment again. It was May of 1982, and there was a yellow school bus out there. My wife and I and my son got on it, and they took us to Boston and Nickerson Field. Billy Graham, he was speaking on the family, and the Lord knew I had problems with my family. Amen. And so I was all ears. And he got up and he said, Fred, and he's that kind of guy. He's got 8,000 people sitting in front of him. And he's talking to me. He says, Fred, he says, you're like that guy, my friend, who owns a Rolls Royce. And I was a smart aleck businessman. I said, how can he, a poor Baptist preacher, have a friend with a Rolls Royce? And I said, he's got friends who are presidents, you know. So I kept listening, and he says, my friend with the Rolls Royce always loved that car. He says, and I had a couple of sports cars. I loved that car. He says, loved that car, and every time it had a problem, they'd take it to Rolls Royce, they'd fix it. But after the stack of bills got that high. He said, wait a second, I've got a friend who's an airplane mechanic. And if I just get the part, he can fix it. So that's what he did. Next time he had a problem, it was a water pump. He says, how much for the water pump? It was half price. And he takes the water pump over to his friend. And he says, Fred, you wouldn't believe it. First time he ever looked at his engine. And he looks at his engine, and there on a brass plate on the radiator is a sign that says, Rolls-Royce designed this car. Rolls-Royce made this car. And Rolls-Royce will guarantee this car as long as Rolls-Royce services this car. He thought about it, closed the trunk, and took it over to Rolls-Royce. He's happy there. He says, you're the same way, Fred. God designed you. God made you. God will guarantee a life with him forever and ever as long as he's the Lord. And I realized I was a Christian. I loved God. Jesus was my Savior, but I was a smart aleck businessman, and God was my co-pilot. And so you would have risked your life if you tried to stand before me as I went to the altar. Didn't realize, but my wife did. I made a total consecration. I call it a second blessing. My wife did the same. We were a new couple. My son made a first-time commitment. We were a new family. And I had a friend that I'd go walking with. I guess we ran in those days. I would go running with, and we'd walk back, and I'd tell him my problems. He was a good friend, Christian friend. And one day, he gave me a piece of advice. He said, Fred, why don't you stop reading all the things you're reading? Or in this day, why don't you stop clicking on the same sites that you're clicking on? I thought about that. And he said, you know, they're not helping you. And I said, oh, no. You know, I'm reading them. People told me they'd help me, but they ain't helped. My life is a mess. And he says, and take that same time and put it into reading the Bible. I said, that's a beautiful idea. Why didn't I think of that? I put it on the shelf a while ago. I can take it down, read the Bible. And he said, as if it was true. And I said, oh, no. You mean I went to school. I looked at my school books, not as whether they're true or not, but how can they help me? Here I got the Word of God, and I'm reading it skeptically, cynically, critically. So I did what he said. I took his advice, and I'd stack up my time at the end of the day. All my free time was at the end of the day for me to read and pray. And as I read, I saw that I was called to be a witness. I was called to be an evangelist. I didn't know any evangelist other than Billy Graham. So I started making friends. My wife went to the tailor. Taylor was giving away Bibles. He had tapes. He introduced me to an evangelist I traveled with. I joined the Gideons. I joined the Campus Crusade, got training from them. This church had a feeding program in the back. I'd come in, can you believe it? I'd stand up and preach to the feeding program. I'd pass out Bibles. I'd sit with the people. I was being a witness. And along the way, I came across those scriptures, and they really hit me, and they started pestering me. Every gospel has got a section that tells you to go. Acts 1:8 says, you shall go, be my witness, to the uttermost ends of the earth, the local area, to the region. And they really bothered me. And so after 4 or 5 years, I went to my mentor of about the similar time, and I said, told him just what I told you. And he looked at me, and he says, why not mission? I said, I ain't got time. And he looked at me, and he says, you got the Holy Spirit? And I said, I'm in trouble if my mentor doesn't know I'm born again. And he says, do you know Acts 1:8? I said, yeah, and it was one of those verses that really got me. And I said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witness. And he says, stop it right there. And he was a gentle guy, but he says, stop it right there. He gave me a 20-minute sermon on the power that I had. He says, that word in the Greek is the same one they use for dynamite, explosive. He says, you've got the power to do more than Christ. That's what he promises you. You've got the power to do. And are you hearing me? Are you grokking this? Are you getting it? You have got the power to do more than the disciples. And they raised people from the dead. And so it got to me. I suddenly seen it. I felt like I was cheating on God. I felt like I was just not being obedient. So when I went home that night, I read my Bible, I prayed, but I prayed with a new intensity, a new repentance. And finally, I was able to go to sleep. And in the middle of the night, it was dark outside, I don't know what time it was, I woke up and I knew God wanted my complete attention. Have you ever been there? Complete attention. And so I went down on my knees and I prayed my heart out. I prayed, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry. It was a little bit like Jesus talks about the droplets of perspiration are coming out like droplets of blood. And I'm praying, and I hear a voice. It's a man's voice. I'm the only man in my house except my 18-year-old son. I hear a voice, and it says, I want you to evangelize in Australia. And like a kid, I grew up in a ghetto. I hardly knew how to spell Australia. I didn't know where it was. I said, whoo! And the same voice said, the Aborigines. That's been the call and carol of my life ever since. It was 1990. Since then, a lot of things have happened. We now have 190 witnesses who are going out and evangelizing, giving away Bibles like Gideon's. But the one thing that's come to me in that interim that I want to share with you is what Carol read. It's the woman at the well. There's an Aboriginal pastor who from age about 25 to when he died when he was 75 preached on those words that Carol gave you, the woman, Samaritan woman at the well. You could, if you want to witness like Christ, if you want to love like Christ, you could do worse than waking up every morning and reading a portion of those scriptures and asking God to show you what he wants you to do to fulfill those scriptures, what he wants you to do to love like Christ, to witness like Christ or witness Christ. But there's just a few of those scriptures that I want to hone out. And the first one is the seventh verse in the fourth chapter of John, and it says, Jesus is sitting there, this woman comes in, and as soon as he comes in, he says, can you give me a drink? And there's a lot of people who hesitate. You know, do I know this person enough to share Christ with them? Bill Bright, one of the men that impacted people more than anybody else in the 20th century, who witnessed to tens of thousands of people, said, you know, after 10 seconds, I've got the right to tell them about my Jesus. But that's what Jesus did. After 10 seconds, he says, can you give me a drink? And then he tells her about himself. And something happens within her. Her heart is transformed. And that's what we're into. Is that right? Isn't that what we're into in church, is transform hearts that transform lives? He sees that her heart is transformed. He says, go get your husband. And we could talk about the fact that this is a Samaritan woman who's had four husbands and is living with a guy. She says, hey, this guy knows all my life. But she essentially leaves her water jar behind and goes back and gives her testimony. Gives her testimony. How many of you got a testimony? Let me see 100% of hands. Everybody's got a story. Everybody's got a confrontation with Christ. Everybody's got a testimony. She gives her testimony. And what happens? People believe. That's what it says in the good book. What happens? She gives her testimony. People believe. How many of you have given your testimony lately? How many of you got people that you want to believe? He's telling you this is a model of being a witness. He's showing you how it's done. Give your testimony, and then others will give their testimony. So people come back with her. She can't keep them from coming back with her. And what happens? Jesus is ready. His disciples are ready. They beg him, stay a couple days. A couple days was a lot of time for Jesus, right? He only had 30-some years. He stays with them. He preaches to them. How many of you are preachers? Everybody's a preacher. Everybody's got a story. Everybody knows the Word of God. He preaches to them, and many come to Christ, and they say, hey, I got it when you gave me your testimony, lady. But when he gave me his testimony, whoa. And so that we can leave that gospel there. But the one thing I want to leave you with is a scripture, one scripture, Romans 10:9. I don't know if any of you know Romans 10:9, but I'll tell it to you. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, an underlined Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Every person I come in contact with, I'm trying to decipher, hey, is Jesus their Lord? It's a hard one in this culture, right? Amen? Hard one. You can be in church, you can be church leader, but is Jesus their Lord? If they're not, I want to help them on that. Jesus is your Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. That's another thing to see. It's not a hard thing. There's more evidence on Jesus being raised from the dead than anything else, more than I'm standing here. He had over 500 witnesses that he was a risen guy. But that's the scripture that I hold before everybody. And I want to give you one story. On my way to the mission field, I had to work. I guess everybody's got to work. But I had to save money to get over to Australia. And so I became a used car salesman for, talk about a humbling job, a used car salesman for Danvers Ford. And one guy came in, wanted to buy a Ford Thunderbird for his beautiful wife. He was a Jew. And normally, I wouldn't go out of my way to witness to Jews. I work for Jews. I've been in business for Jews. They tell me they're the last ones that I'm going to witness to and be effective. They say, don't proselytize me. So anyhow, I'm sitting in the office after the sale waiting for the financing guy, and all of a sudden, I think it was the Holy Spirit, but I feel a move. I suddenly start seeing this guy, he don't know Jesus is Lord, and he don't believe, and it's your job. It's our job, right? That's what the scripture says. Thou shalt be my witness. It's your job. And I said, hey, God, hold on here. You know, I got a sale right in the middle. I need the money. I'm going with good purpose. And he says, it's your job. And so with vigor, I took out my Gideon Bible. And fortunately, you should get one. You can get one from me. It's got scriptures in the back, all the scriptures you need. Time proven by the Gideons to share Christ. So I shared them. And then I talked to him about, is Jesus your Lord? And he says, yeah, Fred, he's my boss. And I says, do you really down deep believe that God raised Jesus from the dead? Yeah. So I asked him to pray for repentance of his sins. And then I asked him to say a prayer that's in this book. I read it to him. He read it back to me. And I believe he was or he is my brother. It's a miracle. And that has gone on, whether I'm in the mission field or not, that has gone on to this day. Today, I'm living down the road on 1A at the Congregational Church's Mission House. Beautiful place, and it's got a big yard. My yard adjoins my neighbor's yard. My neighbor's got a pool. I love to swim. My wife loves to swim. And so, I don't know what attracted him, but something attracted him. He comes over carrying a bag of seeds that he was feeding his birds with, and he says, I also feed the squirrels because they're acrobats trying to get at my bird feeder. They go all the way up and they come all the way down. They leap at it. He says, they're like the flying Wallundas. And so I see this guy's heart is in the right place, and so he's talking about his son who's pretty good shape. He's 79. He's in pretty good shape. And I says, well, I like to go to the Y because I like to swim. He says, you like to swim? Be my guest. And he says it 3 or 4 times. I tell my wife, this guy really means it. So I go swimming one time with my wife. We have a nice swim. The next couple days, I go out there again. I'm all alone. And so I start singing hymns. I feel very comfortable. I had a mighty worship time. You talk about worship, that was church. And so I sing my hymns, and all of a sudden I realize I'm not alone, because way back his wife is cutting leaves or whatever. His son comes walking by. I keep singing. It's my witness. And so the next day he comes walking over again. And he says, my boy said you're singing in my pool. He says, great. He says, you know, I really admire people like you. I says, great. And so I see him. He don't have Jesus as Lord. So I give him the gospel, and I believe he's my brother. So it's the kind of thing that you can do every day with anybody. And so witnessing is something that I think you might try to think about. The last thing I'm going to give you is the love like Christ part. It's a command, and I'm going to sing you the scripture. And the scripture is, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I love you. That's Christ calling, that you love one another as I have loved you. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. So look around. Are you ready to die for any one of these people? Are you ready to love every one of them like Christ loves you? That's witness. That's witness. Thank you.
Fred, they don't applaud for me.
You coached me, Gene. He's my first teacher.
I don't sing to him, though.
Love God.
Thank you. Thank you for God's word. Motivated to witness. I didn't know Fred was going to be talking on witnessing. I knew he was going to talk on love. But certainly what he said today is right in line with the last 8 weeks of sermons you've heard so far on witnessing. So thank you for that, Fred. Okay, Natasha.